This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Hope you all well. Alhamdulillah. May Allah protect us from this weather. Ameen. Tonight, unfortunately, we close off with the sad chapter of the end of the caliphate. Remember, the caliphate started the day the Prophet ﷺ passed away with Sayyidina Abu Bakr becoming the Khalifa. And no calamity, no invasion, no enemy could end the institution of the caliphate until 1924. Exactly, almost 100 years ago, March 1924, is when the caliphate was abolished. And since then, there's been no Khalifa. So let's talk a little bit about it. Last night, we mentioned that Turkey was on the losing side of World War I. And after the end of World War I, World War I ends, remember, the 11th of November, the 11th day of the 11th month at 11 o'clock. That's when Germany officially signed its surrender. And now, after the surrender, all the fighting, the guns had silenced, now there was going to be a number of months, 6 months of discussing, what are we going to do with the losers? And the winners got together, the Allies, England, France, America, without inviting any of the losing parties to decide what are we going to do with them. And one of the biggest treaties called the Treaty of Versailles. Versailles is a palace in France, where they discussed what will be done with the losers. And we won't go into all the details. And of course, because it was a global conflict, discussion like what should happen to Namibia, a German colony, who's going to get that, what's going to be, you know, how much must be paid. All of that, you know, was discussed in this treaty. For our purposes, we want to know what happened to the Muslim lands. So what happened to the Middle East? Since the first, you know, punishment on the losing side was, you have no colonies anymore. We take away all the land that was under your control. So the entire Middle East was stripped away from the Ottomans. And while this was happening and discussing, remember, by now the world knew that there is a secret agreement between the French and the British of how they're going to carve up the Middle East. And subhanAllah, that hadith comes to mind, where the Nabi says, a time will come when the world will sit around a table and they will take from you like animals eating from a carcass. They'll take your lands and they'll divide up your lands at a table. And the Sahaba said, why? Will we be few in number? He says, no, you will be billions, millions, but you will have no power. And you can imagine this. No Arab is sitting at the table. No Muslim is sitting at the table, but a bunch of French, European men are sitting and they're drawing lines. You will get this and we'll get that. So as for the Middle East, the original plan was Syria, and when we say the greater Syria, which is Lebanon, Jordan, Syria itself, part of Iraq would go to the French. The French is going to get this. While the British will get Iraq, they would get Saudi Arabia, and they'll get Palestine. This was the agreement between them. Now, while this discussion was going on, the Arabs, not wanting to wait, they declared themselves an Arab state and they established a Syrian kingdom, a Syrian Arab kingdom. Remember we said there's a guy called the Sharif of Mecca, his son Faisal, they appointed him the king. And you'll see the backstabbing between the allies. The British kind of supported them. Why? Because this took away from French territory. The British had no problem with France losing out its territory, and so they kind of support, go ahead, you can establish your Arab state. The French would have none of it, and they immediately invaded this this state. You know, something to also to mention here, the Americans, I know it's difficult for us to understand that, they were kind of neutral. In fact, the American president asked them, should we not be asking the local inhabitants what they want? Should they not be having their own opinion? And the American president established what is called the King Crane Commission. And he said, let us go in. No, none of us have gone out and discussed what should happen. Should there be a Zionist state? We should ask what the Arabs want. And the King Crane Commission, it's published. You can see the findings. And it was unequivocal. The finding was, you need to let these people have their own state. An Arab state governed by themselves. And he also mentioned, if you were to establish a Jewish homeland in the heart of the Muslim world, it will cause immense turmoil. Of course, the French and British took this thing. They shelved it. They said, thanks, but no thanks. Not interested. And the French took took over Greater Syria. And then they broke it up into pieces. They broke it up into 3-4 different countries. And until today, the French would empower one group over the other. The civil war that we have in Syria. Why is Syria killing one another? What's going on? Because they empowered a tiny minority called the Alawites against the majority. And that continues for 100 years. So this is the Lebanon, constant civil war happening. Why? Because of the French involvement. As for the British, they gave Saudi Arabia to the Sharif. And of course, under their control, they said, you can have Saudi Arabia. But they are doing a deal with the Saudis at the same time. And the British were happy to say, you two can fight it out, and whoever is in charge, so long as you know who's boss, you can. And obviously, the Saud family took over Mecca, and they kicked out the Sharif. So he lost that. His other son was given Iraq. So the Sharif, one son was given Mecca and Medina. He was overthrown by the Saudis. His other son was given Iraq, and he was the king of Iraq for a few years until a secular Ba'athist revolution, a military coup, took him and his entire family out, children, all of them. One of the officers to kill all of them, a man called Saddam Hussein, massacred the whole family, the monarchy of Iraq, and then Iraq became a country, a secular country, as we know. The only country which remained as a kingdom was the king of Jordan. They gave Jordan as well. That's why it's called the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan. Why Hashem? The family of the Nabi Sallam. So they gave Jordan, the British gave Jordan, under, of course, their control. They gave this to one of the sons, Abdullah, of King Hussein. And until today, this is the one kingdom that they still control, even though he has nothing to do with Jordan. He's not Jordanian or anything like that, but he's the king of Jordan. As for Palestine, Britain kept it as a mandate. They realized if we were to bring in a Jewish state now, it's going to cause too much conflict. So they said, we'll keep control and we'll decide what to do. And so for a number of years, Britain is going to keep control. But if you look at what was decreed, they would say in their writings, when they would establish a protectorate, they would say that in July 1922, the Council of the League of Nations approved the mandate of Palestine under the British. And here they reaffirm the Balfour Declaration. So remember, all the people are coming to Versailles. We all have letters from the British. You promised us. The Jews are there, the Zionists are there, the Arabs are there. You promised us. Here's the letters, here's the email that you're going to give us a state. And when the British said, okay, we will sort this out, they made it clear, we are going to honor the Balfour Declaration. It's a bit difficult to do that now. There's going to be major uprising in the Middle East. Let us first take control and slowly bring in more and more Zionist Jewish settlers to establish a base. And of course, we'll get, you know, that will come to fruition more after World War II with the Holocaust. So this is what's happening to the Middle East. Cut up, divided, and basically spat out. Now, what's happening to Turkey? We say Turkey, of course, blamed as well because they won the losing end. The Turks are invaded by 5 armies. The British, the French, the Italians, the Greeks, the Armenians. From 5 different areas, armies enter mainland Turkey, the Turkey we see today. And they impose upon the Sultan a severe treaty called the Treaty of Sevres. And in this treaty, if you look at the next slide, look at how they divide Turkey up. So the blue part there on the one side, they give that to the Greeks. The western part of Turkey will go to the Greeks. We're going to give it to Greece. That green stripes, that will be for the Italians. Southern Turkey, Izmir, all of that, the Italians will take this. The Armenians will take the one side. And the only little part of what is going to be left of Turkey is Ankara and a few areas around it. Even Constantinople, Istanbul will come under international rule. There will be no, the budget, the economy, the military, everything will be under the British and French rule. The Sultan felt, I have no other option but to accept this humiliating treaty, which basically undermines our sovereignty. So he agrees to the Treaty of Sevres. Now many Turks, the army, the nationalists, they felt this is impossible. We cannot accept a treaty like this. And that same general, Mustafa Kemal, who had fought for the Turks in Libya and kept the British out in the Battle of Gallipoli. He now rallies the people. He establishes a second parliament in Ankara. That's why we ask, why is the capital in Ankara, not constant Istanbul? Because Ataturk starts a second parliament away from the Sultan. So the Sultan is a puppet. and the government is a puppet to the European powers. We will start our own government here in Ankara. The army is with me, and whoever is with me, the people, of course, are with. Especially what really caused the people to worry are the Greeks. The Greeks have a bitter hatred for the Turks. There's been fighting between them for hundreds of years. You look at Cyprus till today, there's a half Greek side, half Turkish side. So the Greeks made it known, when we get to Turkey, we are going to repay you for many, many centuries of your hostility against us. Your women are not safe. Your mosques are coming to an end. And so they saw already that this was a free-for-all. These occupying armies were going to brutalize the country. And so the army rallied around Mustafa Kemal, and they fought what is called a battle of independence against the Sultan. They fought a battle against the wishes of the Sultan. The Sultan even had to issue a fatwa. SubhanAllah, look at him. He had to issue a fatwa that Ataturk and all of the guys fighting for independence, they're all kufar. Ataturk, they have their own ulama who issue a fatwa that the Sultan is a puppet. And SubhanAllah, of course, in the middle of all this, the deen gets lost. But nonetheless, the Turks rally around Mustafa Kemal, and they fight a bitter war of what is called, the books say war of independence. The Turk called it the war of survival, that the entire state was at risk. And if you look at the numbers, it's staggering. The forces that invaded Turkey, the Greeks sent 250,000 men into Turkey, the British 50,000, the French 60,000, the Turkish army has less than 100,000. But SubhanAllah, as Allah would decree, that this man Kemal Ataturk was a military genius, and right towards the end he was able to defeat and push out the keep them at bay for an entire year, until these allied forces basically said, we had enough fighting, we are done, and the Greeks were forced to retreat. And by this, he was able to completely scrap the Treaty of Sevres and form a new independent Turkey, which looks like the Turkey we see today. They were able to keep their homeland as we have today. And with that, it was quite clear now who has the power in Turkey. The Sultan has no power. This new government is actually the government of Turkey, and he becomes he is now appointed the new president of Turkey, Ataturk. And that's why it's called Ataturk, means the father of the Turks. He starts this is a new Turkish republic. He abolishes the Ottoman Empire. We are no longer an Ottoman Empire. We are a country called Turkey, and it is based on nationalism, upon people who speak Turkish language. Irrespective of religion, irrespective of, it is all about, we are Turks, and we have nothing to do with Arabs, we have nothing to do with Muslims, we are a nation on our own. And this becomes confirmed in a treaty, and so now it is a new Republic of Turkey, and Ataturk is the father of this republic. And now he brings in a few reforms. As we said, one of the first things he did was he abolished the Sultanate, not the Caliphate, the Sultan. The Sultan was sort of the one man boss. The Sultan, I rule everything, I'm absolute control. That's how the concept of Sultan. They said, no, we don't have this thing called Sultan. We have a president, we have a parliament, this is a modern kind of politics. And so they abolished the Sultan. We have no need for you anymore. And after he abolished the Sultanate, of course, this brings an end to the 600-year Ottoman Empire. There's a new country called Turkey. He didn't abolish the Caliphate to begin with, because this would be greatly unpopular to all the Muslims around the world. Muslims in India, Muslims across the Middle East said, if you were to abolish the Caliphate, this would bring something to Islam. And initially, it was envisioned there would be a Khalifa that's a figurehead. He has no political power. He's just there like the Pope. He doesn't have any, he's just a spiritual ruler. Even though Islamically, the Khalifa has political power. That's the reason, he's the Khalifa, because he's supposed to be establishing the law of Allah. Ataturk, as he gets more and more power and his policies become more entrenched, he then abolishes the Caliphate. 19, as we said, in the 3rd of March 1924, the Khalifa was issued a vote in Parliament to say we should abolish the Caliphate. There should be no such thing as a Caliphate, and he issues a decree, and with that the last Khalifa comes to an end. In fact, it shows you his mindset. So we had this time, we had no Sultan, where the Sultan was gone, he was just the Khalifa. Abdul Majid is the last guy. When he wrote to Ataturk, Ataturk basically said to him, the Caliphate, in my opinion, has no power or position except a figurehead. And in reality, your office is nothing but a historic relic. Really, you should not be there. For you to even write to me asking for allowance, asking for some kind of concessions, you don't deserve to even write to me. In my opinion, you should be abolished. This was like 2 years. So even his mindset was always, I need to get rid of this caliphate. And people were writing, especially in India, a movement called the Khalifa movement, a movement to try and preserve the caliphate in India was moving, the Muslims there. And they wrote to Ataturk and saying, you cannot abolish the caliphate. Eventually he had enough of this and he simply said, well, there's no reason for this. We have nothing to do with this caliphate business. And he abolished it. And subhanAllah, it's mentioned here, Abdul Majid, he was given a phone call, or a person came to him in the middle of the night and woke him up and said, Parliament has decreed that you're no longer the Khalifa and you've been stripped of your nationality. You're not even Turkish. You and your entire family are not Turkish. You have a train that is leaving. You are exiled to Italy. You must get your things together and you must leave immediately. The Khalifa was dumbfounded. He was shocked. How is this possible? And of course, nobody did anything. Nobody stopped it. And him and his family boarded the train. And it's mentioned here, subhanAllah, when he boarded the train, the police basically like took him into custody and he boarded the train. He said his goodbyes. When he got to the train station, the person in charge of the train was a Jewish person. And the person said to him, I speak to you on behalf of my Jewish fellow countrymen. We owe the Ottomans and the Khalifa a great debt. You people took us in when we were expelled all over from Europe. It is my honor to serve you now. You are still my Khalifa. In this last moments of your difficulty, I am honored to serve you. This brought some tears to Abdul Majid, but he was eventually exiled and he was taken to Italy and then eventually to France. And he dies in France. And subhanAllah, even after he dies in France, they wrote to the Turkish parliament, allow us to bury him in Turkey. They refused. His body is not allowed to come back to Turkey. So at least, alhamdulillah for him, he's buried in Jannat al-Baqi in Medina. They accepted his body in Medina. So now we have a new Turkey. And it is going to be, secularism is going to be forced down the throat of the people. So we must say Ataturk is a character where the good side, he reforms Turkey, he builds roads, universities. He of course had protected the Turkish people of invasion. But once in charge, his policy, his deep hatred for religion. And he modeled himself after the French. So the French, as we said, had a great disgust for religion. And so he has the same kind of thinking. He bans the reciting of the Adhan in Arabic. It is resulted in Turkish. It is a crime to make Salah in Arabic. You get fined 3 years in jail for reciting Salah or reciting the Quran in Arabic. It must be recited in Turkish. The fez is illegal to wear in public. The hijab of the ladies, before it's illegal in France, illegal in Turkey. The land which was the capital of the Muslim Empire, women couldn't wear hijab. This continued until 1950. Until 1950, these laws were in place where it was illegal to even speak Arabic in public. The script, the Turkish script, was in the Arabic letters, the tulis. Then they changed it to the Latin script. And so, subhanAllah, this is the new Turkey. And today you'll see the tension remains. Erdogan, which is of course an Islamic party, trying to reform and bring Islamic ethos back to Turkey, has a lot of opposition from the military. He was almost assassinated a few years ago because the secular army, and many people still believe in the principles of Ataturk. The idea was, it is because of Islam and because of this backward thinking that we lost the war, that millions of our people died, that we were brought to our knees. And if we go back to the Islamic way of thinking, we will be back in the Stone Ages. And so this tension remains. And so with that, subhanAllah, the sad chapter, the Caliphate has come to an end. We will talk more, inshallah, tomorrow and reflect on the last 100 years. What has the Ummah been like the last 100 years without the Khalifa? And what should we do now? Should we fight for a Khalifa and re-establish one? Is it something that we need to do? And how do we move forward as a Muslim Ummah, inshallah? Well, all that we'll discuss, bidnillah, tomorrow. Bidnillah. Jazakallah khair. Just we go through our questions. Yesterday, how much the German Kaiser had given the Ottoman Sultan 2 million kurush. I don't know how much a kurush is, but 2 billion kurush. Sister Aisha Dokrat? Yeah, mashallah. Okay. And Muhammad Daniel Peters. Muhammad Daniel Peters, not here? Okay. Wajdi Schroeder. Wajdi Schroeder, not here? Okay. Ismail, Asmal, mashallah, Ismail, you got it, you won. Jazakallah. Tonight, do we have no question tonight? we do have a question tonight. It's not on the slide. So the question tonight, who was the last caliphate, the last khalifa? So subhanAllah, the first khalifa, Sayyidina Abu Bakr. The last khalifa, for now, inshallah for now, we're not to say that there won't be another one, but for now, who was the last khalifa? Inshallah, it's an easy one. Bismillah. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala sahbihi sallam wa sallim. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum.